Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thanks so much for listening today. We do appreciate it. It is the day after the summer solstice. Numbers at 6:22:22. It's June 22nd, 2022. And it's a pleasure to have you here, as I said. We have a wonderful show for you today. It's our second show this week featuring the Lighthouse Districts, those beacons of forward-thinking education, okay, from AASA, chosen by AASA, the School Superintendents Association. And we're expecting two superintendents. Only one has called in so far. Let me just say that's Todd Karuskin, who is the superintendent in Elizabeth, PA, of Elizabeth Forward School District. And I hope Todd calls in. But from Arizona, getting up so early to be with us, we have Christy Wilson, who's the superintendent of another Lighthouse District, Buckeye Elementary School District in Buckeye, Arizona, which I just found out is a little bit west of Phoenix. I've been around Phoenix, but never been to Buckeye. We're going to find out all about that area. And Christy is the AASA immediate past president. So just to give up the private plane for this year, what can I tell you? All right, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ACE-ED.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We're pretty proud of all we do over there. We have our magazine, online journal, which is Equity and Access Pre-K-12. Thank you all for reading that. We do appreciate it. We work hard on it all the time. We appreciate all those click-throughs and reading the articles, et cetera, et cetera. We have our newest website, which is concerned us about the educator shortage. We call that teacher-retention.com. Again, they're linked over at the main site. We have our Excellence in Equity Awards. Please nominate your colleagues, your teachers, your principals, companies you work with, et cetera. Just click through on the awards icon at ace-ed.org and 27 categories for Excellence in Equity Pre-K-12. And also, of course, we have SEL Today. We're very concerned, as everybody is this year, it's been a stressful year, about social-emotional learning, and that's both for students and educators, okay? The teacher wellness, student wellness is extremely important, so please check out everything we're doing over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, I'm going to go from Maine, where I am, all the way out to warm weather Arizona. Christy, how's the weather today? I know it's early. How's the weather?
It is. Well, thank you for having me, Larry. Oh. Thank you so much. Very warm. It's early. It's early, but it's okay. It is very warm, and the monsoons are on their way, so
it's humid.
And kind of sticky, but we're happy to have the rain on its way.
Yeah, when are they predicting that? I hope soon.
You know, we're supposed to have some rain today, which is it's welcomed, but it's like supposed to be 112, 114 today. So, you know, I'd rather be where you are.
Christy, the first time I was ever out there in Arizona, and I think it was like in June or July on a business trip years and years ago, and I, like an idiot, I'm wearing a business suit because I came in from Chicago, okay. And this is years ago, and I'll never forget, within 30 seconds, my lips cracked, okay? And I never forgot chapstick again before I went to Arizona. What is it, 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. out there? What time is it out
there? It is 6 a.m. It is 6 a.m.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Early call, but I am happy to be here with you.
Is it Dr. Wilson or Ms. Wilson?
It is Dr. Wilson.
Dr. Wilson.
You can call me
Christy. Thank you,
Christy. That's fine.
Thank you for being here with us at 6 a.m. I appreciate it. I hope Todd calls in, okay? He had the easier one. He's in Pennsylvania, same time zone I am. It's 9 a.m.
Right.
Right, that's a bum. You can tell him he's a bum when we get him on the phone, okay?
That's right, I will.
We'll get him.
Okay.
We'll get him. Now, I have been to Arizona many times, certainly flown into the Sky Harbor many times, but tell everybody where
Buckeye is.
I got to come to Buckeye. I know. And usually I'm going north.
Buckeye.
I have to tell you this. My favorite place in the whole world is Sedona. Okay, I do.
Oh, yes.
Head north.
Yes.
I love
Sedona
it.
Sedona is a beautiful place, but
it's
you
special.
Know, Buckeye is right up there. You know, and it, like you said at the introduction, we're not far from the Sky Harbor Airport. It's about a 30-minute drive west.
That's
or
easy.
So,
yeah.
And yep, and we're one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. We're right up there
wow.
with Frisco, Texas. Yep. And
wow.
a very, you know, again, the fastest growing area. We're building schools. We built a school in 2017 and then just recently John S. McCain, which I'm going to talk to you about. And then we're getting into pre-planning stages for school number 9 here in the fall. So just a fast-growing area and city, and so a lot of folks moving into the Buckeye City.
And it's going to keep growing with good folks, and it's great.
Yep.
The community
yep.
is all behind the education, building schools,
absolutely.
Et cetera. That's really special. And then, which
yep.
brings the next question, it's Buckeye Elementary School District, of which
correct.
You are the superintendent,
mm-hmm.
which means obviously there's a mm-hmm. high school district, okay, or whatever. Okay, how's it work? Actually, I should ask that question.
Well,
how's it work?
Yeah, so in Arizona, and I think this is, you know, some states have it like this. So we have quick K-12 school districts in Arizona, and then
yeah.
also we have, you know, elementary districts
I didn't
that
know
are
that.
K-8.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have K-8, and then we have unified districts. So there's, you know, around 225 school districts throughout the state of Arizona. So our students who are eighth grade, they promote on to the high school district, which there's three high schools and a learning district, or not a district, but a learning center within that district that they promote to. So we have almost 6,000 students in our
wow.
in our
Buckeye
district.
Elementary. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, and 8 schools, and then like I said, building, getting ready to build number 9. So,
that's
yeah,
fabulous.
pretty good size school district.
And,
yeah.
and what about the ethnic? I don't know it, but I always like to ask the
mm-hmm.
demographic, the ethnic, whatever, yes, you know, the free school lunch, whatever. So people can
yep,
get a picture
yep.
of what you're doing there, what you do
so,
with every day.
Yeah. So what I should mention too, we have 2 preschools. So we're
oh, nice. Good.
We partner with
great.
Head Start, and so our demographic breakdown is we're about 75%. Percent Hispanic, and then
oh, wow.
you know about 30%, 30% white, and then you know a mixture of combination of other, and then our free and reduced lunch count is about 65% overall. But we also have 2 schools that are in the high range of 90-95%, and then you know so it kind of shakes out around 65%.
Wow,
so,
that is a very interesting district. That is a very
mm-hmm.
interesting district. And so,
yeah.
I must ask this, if 75% of your students are of
mm-hmm.
Latino descent, okay, and
yes.
I always like to ask this because these years are getting crazy. What is your faculty? What's the ratio? Do you have a lot of Latino faculty?
We're having that. And so over the years, I've been superintendent. I'm going on my 10th year there.
Wow.
And prior to that, I was the assistant superintendent there for 3 years. So I've been there a long time.
This woman loves Buckeye.
I do love Buckeye.
Woman loves Buckeye, everybody. Good.
Yes,
You've been good
to them. And I don't know the exact breakdown for that, but if I had to guess, I would say it's about 60-40 white to
that's
the
not
other
bad.
Way.
That's
so,
not bad.
Not bad, but we could
no,
do
that's
we
not
could
bad.
Do better.
Yeah,
not bad.
You're doing fine. I think that's great. And you know, what we're trying to do in every district of the country is work to have the teachers match the kids as best we can.
We
plus
are.
Create a
yeah.
diverse faculty, you know,
yes.
represented,
mm-hmm.
the, you know, and it's hard.
Yeah.
Okay, so I congratulate you.
Yeah.
That's all beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
so congratulations.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah,
yeah
you're working
yeah.
on it
the,
doing
the,
well. Don't kid yourself. I talk to school districts all over the country. Okay, you're
mm-hmm.
doing just fine, believe me.
Yeah,
okay,
you
should pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back, okay, for doing
a
good job.
We try to,
I mean, really.
Our administrative breakdown, it's interesting how that has changed over the last, you know, 10, 12 years. And we try to create pathways for for women and minorities.
Nice.
And that has changed.
Nice.
over time. Yeah, so just kind of making sure that there's a pathway there. So I think that's important as well.
You should be very proud of yourself. I think that's fabulous, and I have a nice surprise. I have a nice surprise. Todd has joined us. Todd, are you there?
Oh, good.
Yeah,
hi, Todd.
So sorry I'm running late. The life of a superintendent.
You got that right. Todd Karuskin, everybody. Okay, the superintendent of Elizabeth Forward School District in good old Elizabeth, PA. I'm originally from Philly, Todd. I know your area.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I live in Maine now, but I know your area quite well. We're talking to Christy. You know Christy, right? Do you know Christy? You guys know each other, I assume? Maybe not.
I think we've met, yes.
Todd, we've met. Yeah, I'm not sure if when and we've met, but I know your name. So, hi, Todd. How you doing this morning?
Great. How you doing?
Good.
And
I'm out in Arizona.
I'm going to give Christy credit at 6:15 in the morning out there, Todd.
Oh, wow.
So she deserves the Larry Award for the day. Okay.
Right.
Incredible. We were just talking all about her district, which is Buckeye Elementary, which is a bigger district than I thought. Okay, it's incredible. Tell us about Elizabeth Forward School District. And the first thing is, why is it called Elizabeth Forward? What is that? What's that mean?
Actually, it's two townships that came together, Elizabeth Township years ago and Forward Township. We're about 40% free and reduced lunch. We have about 2,500 students in the district. We've been part of the
K-12?
Digital Promise League of
K-12.
Excuse me?
Yeah. K-12,
yeah, we're a K-12 public school. We're part of the Digital Promise League of Innovative Schools.
Good.
For the last 8 years or 9 years out of President Obama's administration.
Yep.
Just excited to be part of the Lighthouse District and be connected to so many innovative administrators across the country.
And speaking of that, you guys, Todd, you going to go to Washington next week?
Yes, I'll be there.
That's the National Summit for the Learning 2025 initiative of AASA, everybody, and join in the fun. I think it starts June 28th in Washington, D.C. Okay. Chrissy, are you going to go?
Yeah, I actually am presenting there. I don't know if you're presenting as well, Todd, but yep.
I actually have a team presenting, yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. Christy is going because even Washington is cooler than Arizona. And so,
yeah, no kidding. Get out of the heat.
She'll do anything to get out of the heat. No, I'm only kidding you. It's monsoon season. You'll be fine. And good luck with your flights, both of you. Todd's probably driving. But good luck with your flights. Okay?
Thanks, Larry.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Christy. Let me go back. Christy, you know, your district and your Lighthouse District, congratulations, there are only 13 of them designated in the country. You guys should be very proud of yourselves, okay? Yeah. And you were selected, every district was selected for a specific reason, okay? Mm-hmm. And they put you under the category of a Lighthouse District for future-ready learners. All right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's beautiful. And what I learned about your school district, that it is 60% Latino, I think is we got to really talk about the future. Okay? This is just great. So just put that all into perspective of your wonderful Buckeye Elementary District. Then I'm going to ask you, Todd, the same thing about your Elizabeth Forward District. But let's get Christy, since she's up so early and it's already 600 degrees there.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we started to build John McCain, we actually started the planning process a couple of years ago. And, you know, knowing that we were planning for the future, we wanted to really think about what kind of future our students, how we could plan best for them, to be frank. And from the building perspective, this was really before AASA, and I was a commissioner on the report, so I had the opportunity, you know, really before the report had started, in the pre-planning phases of our new school, to be thinking about what does this mean for the future for our kids from a building perspective. So we thought, okay, so flexibility and design, and really the design of McCain, there's glass walls, blind hallways, furniture is very, very unique. And we thought about,
Cool.
Furniture that borders on, obstacles that don't interfere with, you know, we have, you know, the most beneficial learning environments. From a curriculum perspective, thinking about future forward, we, you know, really are aiming and aimed at the time and planning perspective to not have students blocked by any type of access to enhanced content, material tools. We wanted staff to receive, you know, the finest training support. So we were dreaming really, really at this point. And so, you know, I bring up the commissioner's report because it's interesting how many tenets of that report aligned beautifully with where we were dreaming as a charrette in the community, the teams that kind of came together and thinking as we were planning for the future. So where the senator, the late Senator McCain's ethics and the life legacy of where he's the brand new strategy.
Thanks for naming the school after that great man, by the way. Thanks for naming the school after him.
First in the country to be
special.
Named after him.
Really? Really? Double congratulations. That's great.
Thank you. It was interesting because it's like that all occurred in 2019, and then the report came out, and it was like, wow, this really aligns well. And there's, you know, we could spend hours talking about the alignment, but in terms of the future focus concept, it was like we've done something really special here for not only the students, but for the adults too. So we're just really proud and honored that we're being recognized, but we also have a national model for others to, you know, highlight those innovative practices and draw from. So our community is really proud, and it gives Buckeye a sense of great pride to be honored. So.
And is John McCain, is that a middle school? Not the man, the school. Is it a middle school or an elementary or both?
It's a K-8.
K-8.
Wow. School. Mm-hmm. And so the actual instructional program, which we feel is really more that future focus, Kagan illustrative math curriculum, but also it's a coding school. So we see coding computer science as a second language. So kids, they're sort of on their own pace. And then it's very different than like when I explain to folks, and there's a video on our website, you can go and see the actual school. When you walk into that school, it isn't just about a building with glass walls. It's about the culture where kids just, they lose themselves in the love of learning. And, you know, we've done so many tours and folks have, you know, they come in and they see kids where, you don't see kids on their cell phones or kids like, you know, bored or what have you. They're really engaged in active inquiry, and they're just lost in this idea of I want to learn. And that's what you want kids, you know, to do in school. You want them so enmeshed in this idea of inquiry that they want to come to school. And the other thing that's happening at McCain because of the culture that we've created is the adults are really embedded in this idea of, you know, what can we do to Bill Daggett is the one who coined this co-authoring of learning, but you know, we're really seeing a completely different culture of learning on the adult side and the student side. So we're just super excited to see what's happening here. And we're fortunate enough that we're going into into design phase for school number 9. And so we can scale this up and learn from, you know, what's happening in real time. So we're positioned.
You know, I'll tell you something really interesting, all this about what you're saying and how important the design of a school is. The other day I did two other superintendents of Lighthouse Districts on Monday. On June 20th, people are listening to that show. It's obviously archived at ace-ed.org, if I may. But then we had Sherry Campy, who you might know from
Sherry,
Baldwin.
Oh, Sherry, Dave.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, I know
she's
Sherry
great.
Well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you will certainly meet her. I hope you do, Todd. She's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking a little bit, and I'll ask you guys the same thing, about teacher retention, the educator shortage, et cetera. And Sherry made the point that she said, we have to think about a new paradigm for schools. Schools have to be a place where people want to come to work.
Right.
You know, people today,
right.
Everybody today wants to work at home. Okay. Yeah, the pandemic, you know, changed our thoughts. And that's why a lot of people aren't becoming teachers. But if we create these places, okay, that are just wonderful to work in, okay, then we are moving in the right direction to make a school a place where people want to be. Not just the kids, okay, but also the teachers and the administrators, et cetera. It's a very, very important thing. Who designed the school, Christy?
We had Orcott Winslow is a national architect that designed the school, and it's just phenomenal. It's receiving all kinds of awards and accolades.
Yeah.
Our construction team was Chase Building Team, and so together they were just phenomenal partners to work with. And then you know we had a very intense stakeholder citizens committee that we took 2 years to build, to really pre-design. And, you know, we kind of went through I'm sure Todd's familiar with this and you too, Larry, with the Charette's model where you really engage your community on, because it's a different, Jimmy's
been on
extremely
important,
And it's a very different, and it would not have been successful had we not spent the time and through the process of, you know, really engaging your community on, you know, what is it that we want these students to know and be able to do, but also the creation of a portrait that defines, you know, what is your, you know, we don't
what's
call our eighth graders graduates, but
what's the goal when they promote
the skills and knowledge and dispositions that you want, you know, and we enlist the entire community in the support of the district's vision and direction. And I don't think without those charrettes to help kind of co-create the vision of the school, it is so different when you walk into that school that I think people would tend to, you know, especially in the era of the safety concerns that we live in now, they would, immediately go to, whoa, glass walls and open concept. And what about the, you know, safety we already kind of get that once in a while, but, you know, they don't see
the kids will be
the future ready.
The kids will be safe.
Yeah.
They'll be just as safe no matter what. That's not
the
question.
I mean,
and it's a horrible
they go
thing
there.
To even have to bring up. Jesus, my God.
Well, they go there instead of seeing kindergartens create robots using our technology. I mean, it's just amazing when you see a 5-year-old working, you know, working in groups of three, creating robots.
They're amazing.
You see that.
They're going to take over the world. They're going to take over the world because they're the ones who can program our remote controls. What can I tell you?
They're still learning, you know, they're reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they're also creating, they're coding and learning how to, you know, those are skills for the future. So
it's like the Terminator, Christy. Todd, it's like the Terminator. Watch it. They're going to take over. Okay, it's good. It's that simple. And one last thing, and I want to go back to Todd, but Christy, just talk about, take all that. What are you going to be talking about? Okay, or what do you hope to just accomplish at the summit next week? Just real quick.
I'll try to be real quick. There's two things. We're gonna talk about all of that, and you know, really about how we created this future ready school that encompasses this culture I mentioned, and how you sort of enlist this future driven mindset that helps educators change instructional practice, because that's really what that's the name of the game, you know. And then the other thing is there's a second presentation we're doing that's really focused on a cadre of teachers that we came up with this. Well, a cadre of teachers is not a new concept, but it's what you do with the hiring practice. So we created a cadre of teachers who helped hire the teachers who now teach at this new school. And we really did some innovative hiring where, I mean, so much so that, you know, we asked some surveying of current teachers, you know, that was scary for people, but we wanted to make sure that they had the critical skills and dispositions to come teach in a very, very innovative school.
That's right.
That's talking about being very flexible in your thinking, because you know, we don't have desks in the school for
teachers.
You're
dead on right, and I have to say, a lot of that, and you got to keep talking to them, is to the colleges that feed into you, okay?
Yes.
They have to change
exactly.
to meet the needs of the districts, okay? And I'll
yes.
say that point blank. They're always behind the curve in the education schools, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Westchester, by the way, Todd, okay? So believe me, this was 1,000 years ago, okay? It was so old, it was just Chester, because there was nothing west back then. 300 years ago, I went there. But, it's just amazing. Boy, that was dead on right.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to you, Christy, later on today, because that's a very interesting concept about how to hire the new teachers. We have our website, which is all about the educator shortage and hiring teachers and that kind of thing. I'm going to ask you to write that up for the website.
Okay.
Okay, so be prepared
sure
to get an assignment.
Yeah, you bet. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to do that.
We'll do it.
Let me,
all right.
Please do. Thank you. And let me go over to Todd. Todd. Okay, Elizabeth Forward. By the way, thank God the other district wasn't backward. Okay, I think it's Elizabeth Forward. That's a very cool name for a school district. Okay, Elizabeth Forward School District, Central PA. What do I say? Southeast Central PA, is that good, near Ephrata?
Yeah, about
right?
40 minutes south of Pittsburgh.
Are you really?
Yeah, about 40 minutes south, yeah.
Wait a minute, I didn't know you were that far west.
Yeah, yes. We're actually in Allegheny County, which is part of Pittsburgh.
Well, I'll be damned. I thought you were much further towards the center of the state. Wow,
that's
interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you so much. Okay? Thank you for telling me where that was.
You're welcome.
Well, I really appreciate it. So on that note, that changes everything. Are you going to drive or fly to Washington?
Oh, we'll drive. Yeah, it's only about a 3.5-hour drive.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. And you'll get there on time, as opposed to Christy,
yes.
whose flight was already canceled. That was a joke.
I hope you're not.
Sorry, Christy. Sorry. Okay, that was a joke. God willing, you'll get there right on time. Okay? Appreciate it. Todd, you became a Lighthouse District, and congratulations on that. Okay?
Thank you.
Doing your work, okay, in technology, this is where you're kind of focusing. Okay, to be, if I may, a technology enhanced, a technology operating district. Talk about that. Okay, what's this focus? How's it impacted students and teachers? That's key, again, for recruitment. Hey, look how forward we are, no pun intended. Boom, come to work for us. Talked about it.
You know, it's several years ago, way before the pandemic, we started to look at retooling our entire district in a sense of what do we need to do future ready for leadership? All this curriculum out there, modern curriculum, what does that look like in schools? Professional development, putting all teachers in one, you know, auditorium and giving them the same instruction. We're not personalizing the professional development. The instructional model has to change. You know, we've been using the same instructional model for years. And how do we engage our community to make sure they understand all these changes we're making in our district, making sure we get the buy-in? But one of the things we really focused on, we've been an iPad district K-12 for 10 years now. We've used different learning management systems. And our goal is to really scale the work in every classroom. I mean, everybody has their superstars in each of their schools, you know, the 5 or 6 teachers that just take on any new initiative. But our work was to really create this digital ecosystem that all the content was on our learning management system, that every teacher was able to integrate all the software tools into the learning management system. But again, to scale it from kindergarten through 12th grade. And if you walked into any classroom in our school district, you'd just see amazing staff connecting with kids, personalizing learning. We got rid of grades in kindergarten, and kids actually earned 57 different badges.
So,
that's all done digitally. And parents, when the child gets that badge during the day, the parent gets an automatic notification at home so they know their child just mastered lowercase letters or counting 1 to 50 or whatever those badges are. Again, we have 57 of them in middle school, and that's kind of changed. But again, integrating all this into a learning management system and creating this digital ecosystem, it's just incredible. The kids can learn anytime. If they have a doctor's appointment, they can jump on and be able to connect with their teachers, and all the content is there for them. And that's what we're super proud of here. And then when the pandemic hit, we weren't preparing for the pandemic. We had no idea there was going to be a pandemic, but we literally missed one day of school. And we didn't even need to miss the one day.
Congrats.
We just weren't sure what we were allowed to do with the Department of Education. So.
Wow, congratulations on that. That's a great that is a great fact. I have to ask you this, and again, I graduated Westchester, which is one of the 14 state now universities. When I was there was a college, okay, in Pennsylvania. It's a great network of colleges, including the world famous Slippery Rock. Okay, where'd you go, Todd, by the way? Where'd you go?
Actually, California University and then Pitt.
California.
University of Pittsburgh. Yes.
Yep, California, home of Jimmy Stewart, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right? The famous actor?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, he's from California. That's another one. Chris, did you hear that? Jimmy Stewart, the actor, was born in California, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay, just keeping you in the loop here for the Pennsylvanians. Okay, what's going on here? At California State U, okay? Again, in Pennsylvania. All right, so you went there, and... You know, I was at Teachers College 1,000 years ago. They had just invented the stapler, okay? But technology is so important now, okay? And a lot of the state colleges were producing a lot of the teachers. That's changed because they're now universities, but they're still producing teachers, I hope, okay? And, Todd, with a technology-enhanced district, your teachers have to be well aware of how to use and teach with that technology, okay? As you do this, what was the professional development like? How are the teachers reacting? Do you use it to recruit teachers, that type of thing? Yeah, and you're a lighthouse
district. So we personalize
learning. Be a beacon. Todd, you are now a beacon. You're a lighthouse district from AASA. Be a beacon of light.
We personalize learning for students, and so a third grader could be working on fourth, fifth grade math. That same third grader could be working maybe on second grade reading. So it's been a huge paradigm shift for our teachers. You know, if you were a third grade teacher, you just taught third grade curriculum. Now our teachers are teaching, you know, up and down the spectrum of grade level and curriculum. And the same thing we do with our professional development. We personalize our professional development for our teachers. So our teachers are no longer all in the same spot regarding professional development. We have teachers doing so many different things, and they're pacing themselves.
Nice.
So,
nice.
You know, if you think
important.
About, you know, a veteran teacher maybe that didn't go to college and didn't use technology compared to somebody that coming out of college that knows technology, maybe doesn't know how to integrate it into a classroom but feels comfortable with it, you have to personalize it for teachers. We also have done a really good job with creating kind of a lab school where we invite all of the universities around from Pitt, Slippery Rock, Duquesne University, California University, and we bring a lot of field experience students and we do a lot of student teaching, but we are a professional development school for California University. We're only about 20 minutes from California University of Pennsylvania.
Which university?
California University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, is that California?
Yeah,
okay,
so,
sorry.
Yeah, so we are a professional development school for them, so they bring students here all the time.
Nice.
Because you said something that's very important is technology is constantly changing, and it's hard for the professors if they're not in the schools to see those changes. So they have to come and see, you know, how does a first grade teacher personalize learning? How does a kindergarten teacher use a learning management system like Canvas that people, you know, students in Carnegie Mellon or Harvard are using, but our kindergarten kids here at Elizabeth Ford are using it every day. So, and the other piece I think is important.
You know,
you just
said something great that the professors are heading into the K-12 world to learn what to teach the teachers. I think that's a very funny and terrific way to look at it. It's great. Go ahead, please continue.
You know, the other thing I think is important too is, you know, very few schools were one-to-one. Before the pandemic, and very few schools actually had a learning management system. So, you know, I think that there's such an opportunity right now, and we're trying to support, you know, a lot of school districts even around us or across the country on, you know, how do they build this digital ecosystem for their school district.
It's so important. And what are you going to talk about or present or learn, however you want to phrase this, at next week's summit?
really just about our digital ecosystem and how kids log on to our learning management system every day, how we personalize learning for every student in our school district, how we've created this vision to scale the work in every classroom. I'm sure there's pockets of personalized learning, but you know, how does administrators, how does superintendents, how does school board members really understand that vision of personalized learning for every single student? And that's really the gist
of
the presentation.
It's an equity question. You missed the beginning of the show, and my company is the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And when you say personalizing, and we're at ace-ed.org if you want to look at it, what we do, okay? And, you know, when you say personalized learning according to the student's needs, that is the definition of equity, okay? And mm-hmm. it's so important that we don't forget that, so I appreciate what you just said. Okay, it's really, really important, Todd. It's just so important. It's beyond belief. I want to ask you, and then because I'm very interested in this, I'm going to ask Christy too. We got about 5 minutes left. So, Todd, let me ask you first. Okay, we're very concerned about the educator shortage, and I know AASA is too. They're concerned about the superintendent shortage too. It's tough out there. Okay. Yes, they really are. So what? How are you handling that, okay, over at Elizabeth Forward? And, Christy, prepare yourself. Okay, you'll get the same question in a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're trying to, you know, create that culture within our schools that, you know, people want to be here. They want to come to work. And it's hard. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on teachers more than ever before. And the stress that they deal with. And, you know, I think we've, you know, even at the end of the year, we did an amazing wellness day where we're trying to, you know, get our staff out, do meditation. You know, we've actually incorporated meditation in our schools just to try to give them some way to relieve some of the stress they have. But I don't have the answer, to be honest with you. I think it's a struggle for all of us to try to, you know, support our teachers, but also, you know, Christy will tell you the same thing, I'm sure, is, you know, we want to move forward with our district. We want to create, you know, flexible instruction. We want to create, you know, we want to personalize learning. And as we add those things to it, it definitely adds more stress too. So I think, you know, our administrators and I talk a lot about, you know, how do we deal with that stress and how do we create that culture? But it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. Christy, your thoughts on that?
Well, I probably won't win any friends over with this answer. But I think there are some things that have not changed. Like, you know, when you talk to people who've been teachers for, you know, like grandmas and grandpas that, oh, I was a teacher back in the whatever.
Yeah.
Like you, Larry. No.
I was Grandpa here. You're exactly right.
I'll give you an example, though. That old saying of, well, I didn't get into teaching for the pay, right? We still hear that. I'm not a teacher, but we already know that teachers don't teach for the pay. And so, like, you know, in Arizona, we are always trying to get more pay for teachers. That's one part of the issue. But like Todd said, it's really about culture. So what we're finding in our district, and I don't know if this is true in other districts or not, we're trying to do really different things, innovative things, like the cadre of teachers, right? We've never done anything like really, really different with this hiring practice. And that's one thing that is really working in terms of like having them have a bigger impact and say in who they work with. And it's a little bit dicey. You know, they like the union, we don't have unions in Arizona, but we have associations. Oh. And at first, but they're like unions. At first,
we
thought we were going to get a big, big pushback on, well, you can't ask, you know, questions like that. And so we worked through all of that. And the thing is, it goes to what Todd's talking about around culture. When you want to work somewhere, and what Sherry was talking about, when you want to come to work and you're working collectively, it's like the professional learning communities model.
That's right.
You're all about, you know, it's like Margaret Mead said, get a community something to rally around. I'll screw that quote up, but you give the community something that, you know, to be passionate about. They're going to give you their heart and soul. And I think going back to what I said about it's never been about pay for teachers, they have to be able to make a living wage. But it's about, you know, people have to come and want to work together for a better cause or a more important cause. And I just, this idea of a hiring culture or hiring cadre, the teacher leads concept,
idea.
And it's it's, we're onto something there, and
you
so
are
we're trying to learn more about how this impacts our hiring practices. And I think it's a accountability a little bit more, but they have a little more say. So it's like skin in the game for them, and I think we're onto something. So
you are onto something. You
yeah.
two are doing a great job, and I don't know if you know this, but as Lighthouse Districts, my friend Jimmy, who is the Director of Communications over at AASA, he will place upon your head what looks like a lighthouse, a little beacon that will circle, okay? And it starts to glow for a full year, okay, anytime anyone asks you a question. And it, by the way, it cannot be removed. Kind of like an ankle bracelet. It can't be removed, okay? So
awesome.
So you're now a lighthouse. I know they forgot to tell you that, but it's true. Okay.
Great.
Yeah, right. This is great. Congratulations to both of you. And Todd, have a safe
Thank
drive.
You, Barry.
Okay. And Christy, you have a
Thank
safe
you.
And on time flight
you.
Back and forth to DC.
Yes.
We'll talk
Thank
again
you.
Soon,
we'll
guys.
See you out there, Todd.
Thank you both
All
very
right.
much.
Take care.
Bye
bye.
Be good, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Aren't they terrific? Wow. Just goes to show you, great superintendents out there. What can I say? And great districts. Okay, so learn from each other. That's all I can say. The Learning 2020, AASA's Learning 2025 initiative. The summit is next week in D.C. And all you got to do is Google AASA Learning 2025 National Summit, and you'll learn more about that. We'll archive this show at ace-ed.org, where we kind of have everything we do is there. So check it out. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, and happy summer. It's June 22nd.